one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening and welcome to the April 3rd, 2008, meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors. Could we have a roll call, please, Ms. Vega?
Director Sennett?
Here.
Director Schicker? Director Sparks?
Here.
Vice President Tacker?
Here.
President Sesania?
Here. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight. And before we get started, I have one announcement. There's a TAC meeting Monday, April 7th, right here at 7 p.m. And the technical memos that are going to be on the agenda this week are, and thank you, general public comment tonight.
Good evening, members of the board and audience out and wherever you might be. I just wanted to give a little bit of a report on the Board of Supervisors meeting, one portion of it, this past Tuesday. The issue concerned an appeal from the with respect to a proposed cell phone tower in the Van Burden property at South Bay Boulevard in Los Osos Valley Road. Excuse me. The appellants had presented to the board a whole slew of scientific material, which is not a basis for denying a cell phone tower, but is a reason why many people in the community are quite concerned that we shouldn't have cell phone towers, and that it may impact on their property values because of their concerns about health risks. The appellants presented a petition with more than 650 signatures of residents of Los Osos stating that they had adequate coverage and did not want any cell phone tower, this or any other, in the confines of Los Osos. And the appellants presented various bases for denying the permit. In the course of the discussion, one of the supervisors, I think it was Lenthal, asked County Council whether a San Francisco case, which had said that consideration of the community's desires was required, was in effect, these were not his words, binding on the Board of Supervisors, to which the County Council said, in effect, no, because that in that case, San Francisco had a specific ordinance that told the supervisors they had to consider the community to do when we have that kind of a disparity in a democracy. 3-1, the Board of Supervisors voted for the cell phone towers. Mr. Gibson, who I hope would have done otherwise, was not present because, as you know, he's ill. I just wanted the public to know that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Patrick Sparks. I'm the attorney for AES. I'm here to ask the board to put on the agenda at some point this video that was produced as an installation video for the reclamator on Las Encinas here in Los Osos, California. This is a state bar trust account that I've created for the purpose of receiving contracts for people in the community that want to cure their cease and desist orders, or people that want to build in the prohibition zone. We believe that there's no longer a discharge of a waste. And so I've given this to one of the clerks today to confirm that this is, in fact, a way to handle the business of how to take care of the community and have them rest assured that the money's not going to be misused. I've provided an executive summary again for the board's pleasure, as well as a document that when we're actually talking to people in the community and wanting them to contract with the AES, that they can rely upon this document as AES's executive summary of the engineering report that's been submitted to the various agencies, including Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. These people now also have samples of the reclamator in action, and so we also brought a visual display of the water quality of the reclamator, which we brought the last time. So with all that in mind, we also have not really heard much other than the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board is determining whether or not today they're going to say that the reclamator water is discharged or whether or not the reclamator water is reusable as subsurface irrigation or recharging the aquifer or exempt because it has less than 2.2 parts per million of coliform. So we're doing the testing. But in the meantime, we have a government claim form that we're concerned. I don't know exactly where to bring it. This one is the state form of the government claim form. Since the water is harvest water quality and it's going into the LOCSD system, we're trying to figure out where to actually get just compensation.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. I want to remind the community again that you've got till the 7th of April, which I believe is next Tuesday, to turn in any comments you might have on this notice of filing a draft of environmental document. Two resolutions they're going to make. The only notice that was out to the public was this little thing in the Tribune on the 12th of March. And that's quite interesting because some of the paperwork they did.
Mr. President,
I'm disorganized.
This is he's talking about an agenda item, sir.
Oh,
thank you. Thank you, Mr. Murphy. That is on our agenda.
Oh, you're going to remind everybody?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, the only thing that I wanted to make sure everybody knew is on page 4 of the resolution, it says that the public was notified January 22nd, and that's a lie. Nobody knew anything about this. And that's on...
You'll have an opportunity anyway. During our agenda item on this specific issue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good, I can get organized
then. Full agenda
then.
Item.
I'd like to mention that item number 7 is the same as item number 22, so they wanted us to know all that, and I'll read that to you when we come up with this on the agenda. One thing I did want to mention was there was a remark about why would we want over 4,000 mini MBR plants in the community. Well, I think it would be a lot better to have 4,000 minis at electricity that you run your refrigerator with, about the same amount, than to have a mega MBR plant with $2 million a year of electric bill. So... that's just part of it. Besides, we got the recharge in place with no danger of liquefaction, and all they know about is 400 gallons in Broderson. So these are things that we need to look at. This reclamator's the short.
Board members, I'm Tom Murphy, Los Osos. It's I stand before you tonight to open a new chapter in history of water through the use of technology which achieves a national goal. I got a whole bunch written down here. You know, I'm asking for, you know, to be put on the agenda to discuss two things, to contract to eliminate discharges of community systems currently under the November 19th, 1999 CDOs, and to offer for the LOCSD to partnership with AES-DES LLC. You know, we have a reclamator operating right here in Los Osos. It's almost like, it's water. It produces water from sewage. It's pretty awesome. It really is awesome. I mean, it's water. It's valuable all around the world right now. It's almost like the LOCSD is kind of like Mother Mary, who was the Christ child's mother, and he brought the water of life, the living water. And now we're bringing, right here in your womb, you're going to produce, you have produced the reclamator that produces water. And, I really think that, your motto here should be, united we stand, divided we fall. And I'm asking you guys to consider uniting with AES. Let our attorneys work out the partnership details, arrangement, agreement. We have a huge market right here, and we're going to bring you guys out of the condition you're in, being a part of us and flying colors. And the world's going to be what they're watching right now. And you're going to set an example for the world. You're going to launch a whole new industry for the world. You're going to be a major part of it. We're going to set up facilities here to bring in installers and certify them under our criteria. I was one of the first certified installers in the United States of America in 1982. I got my certification in Alaska. So I know the program. I've done thousands of installations. So we can, and Barry, I'm talking to Barry Toole at the county about working with us to do that. And I'd love an opportunity to answer questions, talk to you about possibilities, what benefits there are to you guys for considering this.
Violations of the public's trust which have occurred in this district over the past few months. Regarding the most recent violation of the public's trust, where our utilities manager decided it was okay to commandeer the CSD backhoe for his own private use, as I commented at the last meeting, the rules in place as stated are very clear and require no edit. Mr. Milanas did not have the permission of the general manager to use public equipment, and the work that occurred on Mr. Milanas' private property was not of a general benefit to the district. Perhaps there is something we don't know. Perhaps the orchard he was terracing is a nonprofit grove and he intends to donate the fruit to the homeless. If Mr. Milanas worked for the city or county of San Luis Obispo or any other city, county, or district in the state, I can tell you what would happen. What would happen is that Mr. Milanas would be placed on administrative leave pending an investigation. The responsibility of this CSD and its general manager and council is not to just change the rules as written. The requirement of this CSD is to enforce the rules as written when violations of the public's trust occurs. The public has the right to know what disciplinary actions have been taken regarding the misuse of our property. If you have chosen to basically do nothing, then this is what you have to do, Chuck. You need to place a clipboard sign-up sheet outside the CSD office so members of the public can sign up for private use of the backhoe and other district equipment. Because I was thinking about installing a reclamator, and I'd like to borrow the backhoe. Or when the county comes up with whatever sewer system they decide on, I might want to borrow the backhoe to install my lateral. I live within the CSD water district and I pay my water bill. I own just as much of that backhoe as Mr. Milanas does, and I have just as much right to its use. I have to say the problems like Mr. Milanas' private use of public property do not appear to be isolated incidents, but systemic. I don't have to blame George for taking the backhoe up to his property and having his way with it, because George spent half his day on the side of the hill back up here with paid-for public employees and equipment cleaning up Julie Tacker's chipping day mess. After that, why wouldn't it tickle Mr. Milana's brain to think it would be okay for him to use the backhoe on his own private property? When the Chippy Days incident was reported, Director Cicinia was quoted as saying, "I really don't want to pick on each other over things that are not top priority. I do not want to make a big deal because there are so many more important things to think about." Directors of the CSD, if you and those who work for us are nothing more, you are stewards of the public's trust. Whether it be a director using property owners' names without their knowledge or consent, or our utilities worker using public equipment for personal use on private property.
Leon Golden, Los Osos. I'm here to speak about the war in Iraq and what it has cost so far. We've been in this war for 5 years, longer than we were in World War II. I'll repeat that. We're in this war longer than we were in World War II. And so far, the war has cost California $66.2 billion. Now, the statistics I'm going to read to you now comes from a web page called, and this is all one word run together, nationalpriorities.org. Feel free to look at it yourself. There's a lot of other interesting things on this web page. In addition, you can Google cost of Iraq war and find out more information, which you won't read in the Tribune, or for that matter, in the New York Times, which I read every morning. This is what the $66.2 million that we've spent so far could have purchased. And each of these things are in the alternative, so there's an or after it. And I'm going to round off the figures. 27 million people with health care. 118 homes with renewable electricity. 1,182 public safety officers. 935,000 music and arts teachers. Almost 10,000 scholarships for university students. Over 6,000 new elementary schools. Almost 200,000 affordable housing units. 25 million children with health care. 8 million actually, Head Start places for children. Almost a million elementary school teachers, and this is the most ironic of all, 836 port container inspectors. And urge everyone you know in Congress to stop funding this war.
Thank you, sir.
We could use the money right here in the United States.
Thank you.
Susan Shaw, Los Osos, and I was inspired to get up and speak from what Leon just said. Yeah, the administration gave Bechtel contracts to rebuild 24 wastewater plants, billions of dollars, and they went in and they said, mission accomplished, and then they all failed, and they said it was because the Iraqis wouldn't follow the directions. Well, it turns out we don't have proof if they built those or not, and in the meantime, the Iraqis are suffering from gallstones, failure of their intestinal tracts and many other severe problems. And it's for all those billions of dollars wasted on giving away to Bechtel money to squander, well, corruptly, we could have had a really nice sewer plant. So, hear, hear. Leon.
Good evening, Board, President Cesania, Piper Riley, Los Osos. Tonight I want to talk about water issues. Current estimates state that in the next 10 years we're going to have less water. It's going to be more scarce than oil is currently. And in less than 20 years, two-thirds of this earth is going to be faced with extreme water shortages. Now, Southern California has never really been known for its water conservation. In fact, they are notorious for their wasteful ways, but as the world is changing, so are they. Currently, San Diego County is going to be basically building a giant reclamator in order to take care of their waste and to recycle their water. Ventura County just got $25 million for the state to improve their water quality and to create projects so that they are self-reliant. And even out a new path that recognizes that increased demand, climate change, and environmental crisis makes imported water less reliable than ever before. The editorial rightly calls for Southern California to accommodate growth through aggressive development of reliable local water supplies, such as stormwater capture, water recycling, groundwater cleanup, and increased efficiency. Even more astonishing, the editorial proclaims to be the first in a Times series to sketch a blueprint for the perfect water system. That acknowledges how limited the resource of water truly is and creates a plan to seek a balance between the needs of the people, the economy, and the environment, and considering how to best use and preserve it. The editorial reflects a growing momentum for a new strategy to meet water needs in California that focuses on regional supply development and decreased reliance on imported water. We need to follow their lead and not work in the old ways. We're in a really unique position with the aquifer that we have. We have pristine water in our lower aquifer that we need to take care of. We need to stop the saltwater intrusion by stopping the pumping and clean up our upper aquifer, which is at overflow. We have plenty of water. We don't need to import water. In fact, all of the lake... Is my time up? Or okay. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
David Egan Lososo, speaking of the backhoe, remember a conversation up here when you guys were discussing the backhoe and speaking with Julie Tacker, she made the remarks, well, how much does it cost to rent a hoe or lease a hoe? It's on video and it was funnier in hell to hear that. But putting that aside, I have a video out now. It's called Violation of Los Osos. It's the violations of the Region of Water Quality Control Board on the Bagley-Keene Act, which is the government code that they have to do their business by. And you can see it on Google Video. Just go to the Google Video site and search with their search engine on that site for the violation of Los Osos, and you can watch the 30-minute show. And it has all of the codes that they violated, as well as the video proving that they violated that code, those codes.
Point and that, order.
Excuse me?
Sorry, Mr.
The gist of the whole thing is that the Regional Water Quality Control Board is supposed to be here to make sure that the water is not polluted. And I heard something about the reclamator. And if the reclamator works the way it's supposed to, it doesn't discharge into the aquifer. You reuse that water. Okay. Another thing, item that I heard spoke of up here was about water, and that how our wastewater treatment facility, according to the county, is not going to include a water reuse element. And they're going to spend up to $35 million trying to import water into our area. Now, I explained to the supervisors that we don't have a water shortage here. We just have a shortage of potable water. And we can spend less than $35 million making that water potable. We can use that water. My time was taken up here, but I just want to point out that the TAC coming up is they're going to talk about a TECO memorandum on imported water, and therefore I think it should, anybody who has that interest should come to the TAC. May I finish this? Okay, and explain to them that, as well as the supervisors, that federal codes say any federal monies used for this kind of project have to include a water reuse element. And that SRF money is federal money granted to the state. Thank you.
Evening, Board. Ben DeFada, Los Osos. I want you to investigate what happened at the Santa Isabel slowdown project. Almost $1 million for 6 concrete islands and a few sidewalks. Who did it, and they should be fired? Who's accountable for all this? I want Mr. John Sipe, I ask you to ask him to look at the reclamator instead of the most expensive sewer plant in the world. Get on the ball, Mr. Shep. I want you to investigate what Pavel wants to start up. He wants to subsidize several thousand homeowners that can't afford anything that will cost over $100 a month for a very expensive site it should be. Forget about everybody else. At this time, the least costly project is the reclamator, but Gibson, Pavo, and the Water Board won't even look at it, Mr. Shemp, too. It will get rid of the waste, save water and energy. No tearing up 42 miles of streets, no Native Indian problems, and affordable for everybody. All we want is the least costly project that will do the job. Press it. Please investigate why they won't do a study of the reclamator. If it doesn't pollute, you must permit. The cell phone towers, no one has mentioned how close it is to those that will have to work just a few feet from all that radiation. What kind of thinking is that? You know, all you guys, all I heard was you guys are 250 feet is the closest house. There's people working in that same building. Now, what's going on here? If you think coming up here and criticizing my government is fun, you should see my doctor bill.
Any further general public comment tonight? Well, step up, please.
Good evening. My name is Al Barrow in Los Osos, and I have some pleasant news, some good news, I think. I talked with some experts that are experts in the wastewater technology using trees as a wastewater method of treatment. Redwoods, other trees, but basically I want to talk about redwood forest wastewater treatment and what it does for us. It takes all of our carbon and waste and sequesters it into the wood, and the wood eventually becomes a product that we can sell to gain revenue. So this is the first idea that I've seen where we get revenue from wastewater. But the idea is we're looking at our waste not as waste, but as a resource. When you look at it as a resource, it's finite material that can be used for growing trees. And trees are not as sensitive as others because it's not an edible crop. So they take all kinds of pollutants, environmental standpoint, energy standpoint, and other things. Some of the things that it does, it gets carbon credits for you, which generate cash for the district. That buys down the cost of the project. You can have a pond system and raise koi and tilapia fish, generating more cash as they eat the sludge and other products in a pond treatment. The infrastructure of a forest, 20 to 40 acres, would create a recreational value as well. It wouldn't be objectionable to the farmers as it would a conventional treatment plant outside of town. It would be beautiful. It would harvest. It would be a habitat for wildlife as well. So those are some things to think about, and these things we can use in all of our wastewater treatments all over the world. So if we could do that, if we could start growing forests again instead of cutting back down, we'd reverse global warming. So this is a very advantageous and a good thing to look at. So Mr. Ed Burton, who's in charge of it, and Dan Wickham are going to be presenting, giving us some papers that I can present to the county. And thank you very much. And I do support Leon Golden's remarks about the war.
Richard Mark. Oh, before my time starts, can I ask a question about, is the next meeting the joint LOCAC meeting? Is that the, do you have one in between?
The joint meeting is May 28th, I believe.
So, and there's no meeting up until then?
With LOCAC? No.
No, with CSD.
CSD is meeting in 2 weeks from tonight.
Oh, they are. Okay. Because I want to make a public service announcement about the Duval Ranch then, but I didn't want to miss it because the event's on the 26th. Anyway, Richard Margetson, I want to talk about the article in the Bay News, in case those in the viewing audience haven't picked it up yet, dealing with the utility manager's use of the backhoe. I didn't instigate this article. In fact, when I was called for a comment on it, I refused to give a comment because I didn't believe enough information was out there to for the paper to report accurately. And other, I mean, there's a number of mistakes in here, including my place of residence, the utility department. District vehicle, this is from your code 5040. District vehicles, equipment, tools, and other property shall be used for district business and operation. No district employee, board member, or member of the public shall use any such district property for any personal or non-district use. Exceptions must be pre-approved by the general manager or his designee and may be allowed for public goodwill and the general benefit of the district. That's pretty clear to everybody who's heard about it out in the community. And since your last CSD meeting, I've gotten the same comments that Mike Jones had. I had people coming up to me at the post office. One gentleman wanted to know where he signed up to borrow the chainsaw because he wanted his son-in-law to trim his trees on the weekend. The community does need to hear what the ramifications are of this, what legal ramifications there may be for the waste of public funds, for the misuse of public funds. This equipment was bought and paid for by the ratepayers and taxpayers of this community. It was an isolated department issue, and the general manager knew nothing of it. It was stated at the last meeting, and Karen Vega backed that up. My other concern is, where is taxpayers' watch on this issue? What does taxpayers' watch stand for in this community other than harassing the four board members that weren't part of the old original board? They should be all over this issue, but they're never on anything that actually deals with the misuse of public funds other than what has to do with you four directors. Thank you.
Any additional public comment tonight? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring this back to the board. And we'll move on to administrative and committee reports. Mr. Jenkins, Mr. Veneris, I think you're up first tonight. It's been a long day. Sorry.
Incidents were responded to. Did call out a couple of the storm responses. Again, the full station was staffed out, including the reserve firefighters, multiple simultaneous calls in a short period. We talk about some administrative issues, some training issues in there. Continued with our busy training months through this month. Both for the reserves and for the permanent personnel, for paramedic stuff and other firefighting skills. Fire engineer Neil Moriarty started his training as a rescue watercraft instructor with the county fire-owned rescue watercraft up there at the station. That's not in service yet, but will be here the next, hopefully the next month or two. A number of community outreach projects, including the exploratorium at the Monarch Grove School, which was very well received. We had the Cal Poly students in the district. I had hoped to bring you a CD tonight, but one of the group's CDs did not have the material on that we needed, so I hope to have that to you, to each of the board members, next go-around. We did have a meeting with the Fish and Wildlife Service, Supervisor Gibson's office, the Department of Parks and Recreation, a number of community personnel attended that as well, discussing hazard abatement in and around Cabrillo Heights especially, but also as it applies to the Bayview Heights area and the rest of the district. I'll talk about that later on, but that is talked about in here. And finally, the solar grant that we applied for, we did receive confirmation that that was not approved in the month of February. I have a couple other issues here, so let me hit that, and then I'll ask if you have any questions. On the table there, I do have handouts for a CERT class that'll be hosted by Morro Bay Fire Department and Station 15 South Bay. There's a blue handout over there, talks about it. It's a community emergency response team class. It'll be May 1st, 6th, 8th, 13th, and 15th from 6 o'clock till 9:30. It'll be at the Morro Bay Community Center as well as the station 15 up here in Los Osos. It's a 20-hour course. We've done a couple of these in the past. Last go-around was actually canceled due to lack of participation, but we're hoping that this one will go. I know that South Bay has at least 8 or 9 different people who want to take this class, and I think Morro Bay has got a couple of time. During the Emergency Services Committee update, I'll give you some more information on that, but I want to remind folks that we need to start clearing, especially on the south side of Los Osos Valley Road, which is designated as the state responsibility area for wildland incidents. Finally, you may have heard that there was a trench rescue out in the Montano de Oro area a couple Thursday nights ago. So just a brief update on that. That was the actual first time the trench rescue trailer, which the district owns, was used. You probably saw in the paper that a couple teenagers from the Fresno area dug a sand cave into the cliffs of Montano de Oro. That cave collapsed on them. They were completely covered up. Upon our arrival, your Station 15 folks with the reserve firefighters, accompanied with the county's technical rescue team and some CAL FIRE resources, they had their heads exposed, but that was about it. So it took us about 55 minutes to shore the area up with the materials out of the trench rescue trailer and then dig them out. And last I heard, both members are doing well. So can I answer any questions for you? Yes.
I just had a curious question about the trench rescue. What happens when the sand compresses their bodies? Is it their can't breathe and their...
It can compress their ability to expand their diaphragm or their chest and get oxygen. But the other thing that happens is the whole body is compressed and the blood cannot flow. And so as it stops flowing, it builds up acids and the parts of the body that's trying to get rid of through both the digestive system and as well as the respiratory system builds up in there. And so when the body is free of the sand and everything starts flowing, all those toxins start going through the heart and the lungs and the brain, and it shuts the body down because it realizes that it's filled full of poisons and they go real quickly.
Wow, that's amazing. The other question I had about that, because I didn't see all the pictures, but how do you dig them out without hurting them? How do you get them out? You trench the area on the perimeter, and then what?
We put a series of shoring in behind them because what was happening with both the rescuers, the victims' rescuers or family members, as well as ourselves, when we showed up, when we tried to dig them out, the sand continued to fall down upon them. But the sand continued to collapse upon them, and that's as far as they could get. So they actually tried, from what I understand, about 5 to 10 minutes. I should probably note that State Parks was on scene as well and were a tremendous asset.
And was that triggered by digging at the base of the bluffs?
They were mid-slope. So they climbed up high. If you're familiar with the sand dunes to the north of Hazard Canyon, where the abrasion platform is, so they went around the corner and climbed about halfway up and then tunneled in.
Don't dig in the sand dunes.
That's a very, very wise statement.
I have another question about your visit with Julie Vandeveer from Fish and Wildlife Service. I was reading in this report that it said that she says you don't need a habitat conservation plan to clear brush.
She would like to have a hazard habitat conservation plan for the district made. There are certain areas where we can mitigate the wildland fire potential without threatened and endangered species, or taking threatened and endangered species. In some areas that we cannot. So there are areas that she's identified where we can proceed, and the residents can proceed to do some abatement.
So did you two create a map together? Is it a publishable map? Is it a private map? What was the outcome of the meeting?
We spent a better part of a day together driving around Los Osos with a parcel map. Mm-hmm. The original intent of the day was to have her go through and identify areas or specific parcels that we could mitigate and parcels that needed further observation, and then to confirm the areas that have been deemed critical habitat. Unfortunately, that it wasn't as simple as that. And so she realizes that it's going to take a little bit of effort. It's my hope that the letter that we received last year on how to mitigate those areas will be renewed. She has given me her word that it will happen, and her boss supports her. What we have to do now is look at the areas that we can work on now and continue to work on the areas that we know that there is threatened and endangered species to come up with a plan for that.
And is it your opinion that there are areas that have super high brush content that could burn towards houses and people? Or would it burn up towards the park, or you don't know?
Standards for new construction, although it does not address existing construction. So, yes, there are areas there deemed by the state to be a high fire hazard area. You know, anything can burn under certain circumstances. We proved last January 19th that, you know, we can burn. But I do have to say that the vast majority of times here in Los Osos, due to our prevailing westerly winds, we are, you know, there's not a significant threat as you see on the news for Southern California fires. There is a threat, but it's, you know, I don't believe that it takes, you know, immediate action where we will possibly hurt some of those endangered species or violate other laws.
Has that designation changed recently? I'm just wondering why the focus now, if the designation hasn't changed all that much.
They renew those I think it's every 10 years, but don't quote me on that. They reevaluate. Maybe it's every 5 years.
Okay.
And we're in that process now. But there is additional laws relating to that as they renew it this year because of the law changes after the 2003 and 2007 fire siege.
Okay.
And that goes back to the difference in building standards.
Okay. Thank you. Director Sparks.
Mr. Vanaris, the CERT training, does that include CPR training as well as part of
that? It does not. What it will do is it'll show some basic first aid skills, and we'll walk you through on how to do it, but we'll not give you an actual American Cross CPR card. But the networking that will come from that will allow that to occur.
I saw a headline this week, but I didn't read the article, and it's, has there been changes to the CPR method? Because I just took it approximately 15 months ago.
Okay.
So and the method had changed from the time before. Yeah. And I saw this headline, but I didn't have time to read the article. Has the method changed again?
Yeah. The method hasn't changed, but the amount of respirations to the compressions have changed. And what they're saying now is for bystander CPR, if you walked into a store and someone collapsed in front of you, compressions are where it's or the priority. The body has enough oxygen stored in its system that as long as you're doing compressions and pumping that blood through the body, you have an increased survivability rate. The respirations are not as critical as we once thought. So next time around, you have a whole new test.
Thank you.
Good information. Thank you.
Okay.
And I apologize.
Good video.
Thank you. We can run this on channel 20, maybe? Thanks. Okay, great. Thanks. District Utilities Manager report.
Good evening, President Cicina, board, staff, and public in attendance and at home. Before I go on with my update of utility operations, I feel I'd be remiss, and I too would like to make a comment on the equipment and what has been said here tonight. First, I want to, there have been a lot of things said, and for the most part, it's true. A couple weeks ago when General Manager Shemp showed me the pictures, other than being kind of eerie, being under surveillance, I knew I had erred. I was honest in my memo responding to those pictures. The fact is, it just did not seem like a big deal. As I came in, I've got to a lot of the comments, hey, can I borrow this, can I borrow that, one speaker went on with some sarcasm and interjected some humor. I don't find humor in it. The fact is I was wrong. I was interviewed on the article, they called me, and I was honest with them too. I didn't see them put anything of what I spoke about, but that's not here nor there. I just want to cut to the chase here. The fact is I've been here 9 years, and I've been diligent in my duties since I arrived here in 1999 with the wastewater as the impetus that got me down here. So I don't want to belabor this too much. I want to just make a public apology to the board, General Manager Shemp, and the public. I was wrong. I erred. And I just will hope you forgive me for that. I don't want to be misunderstood or feel... I don't believe it's systemic, as one would point out, what is occurring. We've got a lot of challenges as a district, and we really need to get together and pull together. So with that, I will move on with my update. As you can see, the work being done, we're making good progress there. We've had a couple issues with some habitat that we're the snail issue in some of the places we've been working. We've been able to keep the contractor moving, relocate him to other areas in the community, and so we are making headway pretty well on that project. Contract 3, which is the 9th Street and Los Olivos upgrade project. We will be breaking ground on that in the next couple weeks. If anyone's noticed out there, we've been doing a lot of potholing, understanding what we have underground there, and that will be moving forward. I want to move on to Contract 4. This is the upper supply well at South Bay. We have completed that test well. We drew samples several weeks ago. The constituents all looked good, right about what we were expecting to see in the chemical makeup of that water. The original pump rate we were getting at that well was 50 gallons a minute. We moved forward with swabbing the well. This is some additional development of that well site, and we were able to actually realize another 50%. So we've up to 75 gallons per minute there. With that said, we have now spoken with planning, and because the blending facility, which is the other component of Contract 4, and actually developing this well to get it into service, we won't be constructing any structures. Most of the blending facility is all done underground with pipes and some booster pumps. It seems that permitting should go fairly quick. We are on schedule with the Planning Commission for their July 8th meeting, and I hope to bring to you on April 17th a Contract 12, which will be the design of the actual blending facilities for the South Bay. If you'll remember, the South Bay is one well that we opted to
move forward on full development. We will get reimbursed from the iBank completely once that well becomes into service. In other words, it is a complete project, but we do have to get it into the system and operating. So we're confident that we can secure those permits and go into construction in August or September for that well. The last thing I'd like to say is the utilities crew last week. With that, I'd be glad to answer any questions the board may have.
Director Tacker.
Can you give us a little update on Santa Isabel and their water?
I'd be more than glad to.
I'll do that, George, later.
Okay. He was the hero on it, so I'll let him take the applause. Any other questions?
Any other questions from the board? Apparently not. I would like to say I appreciate your stepping up to the community and the apology. The district had been put in a very troublesome position. We have drawn enough controversy in the past couple years with the sewer project issues, and I don't mind those because I'll stand behind the actions that we took, and I think that at least half the community is along with us. The one thing that this board and the district cannot, we just don't want to have, is shaking the community's faith in our integrity with their resources. And as a longtime public employee, I just know we can't. The equipment that belongs to the district belongs to the people, and it's not ours. And I appreciate your honesty, sir, and the way that you dealt with the paper. I think that's commendable.
Thank you.
General Manager's report.
Good evening, board, community. In regards to Backhoe Gate, I am constrained by federal state law. The only thing I can comment on it is to say that it has been handled. I would like to comment, start off by the, can verify the confined space training because there was no place to hold that training other than in our office. So by osmosis, I too am now trained in confined space rescue and operations because it happened right outside my office. And they did go all day and it was pretty intense, but also very important. And just to reiterate, this is what happens. This is the classic situation where somebody goes into a tank and they're overcome by noxious gases or lack of oxygen or whatever. And, of course, immediately what then happens is his buddy jumps in, too, and you have Tufa Sal to that pipe, the only requirement being that the no requirement on the homeowner, the requirement on the county is, A, they pay for a permit, and, B, they make sure that every year the backflow devices are tested, and they've agreed to do that. So we're pretty pleased that that's worked out. Earlier this, since the last time we met, I met with attended a fire safe council meeting along with several representatives of the community. We found out how those councils are formed, and since then, and I'm sure you'll hear it in a committee report from the emergency services, it looks like we're on the way to starting focus group, thank you. To community-wide, not just Cabrillo, but community-wide focus group on fire safety. Also pleased to report that earlier this week we met with, with Wallace Group that's heading it up, Wallace Engineering, five different purveyors, that's the three here plus two from Napomo, have gone together to produce a school water conservation program will be given in the third and fifth grades with five purveyors sharing the cost. It's relatively inexpensive, and when it's up and running, we'll give you the bulletins, the work that the kids are going to get. But we're excited about the opportunity here to finally get going on water conservation, and particularly targeting the kids I can't help but comment, and I'm sure those of you who have traveled have realized that a lot of other countries, there's a lot of trash and debris along the roads. We here are fortunate that we don't have so much of that in the United States, and that all started in my lifetime. I have to admit that I'm one of those kids that used to throw things out of the car windows. But by getting to the kids at an early age, most people just don't do it. And so we're really hopeful that this is a start in the right direction with our school system. I wanted to mention that one of the requirements with our new committees in our bylaws is Brown Act training, and the district's going to be taking this on. We have a PowerPoint presentation that Karen Vega has found for us, and we're going to tailor that to our needs, and we'll be holding Brown Act training for our committees in the near future. Dollars that'll be spent this fiscal year, but we did have it in our budget. Going forward next year, the approximate cost is only $11,000. And perhaps the most important thing to report is that as of today, we did hire a part-time accountant. So with any luck, she's starting on the 15th of this month, and hopefully by May, your May meetings will be having up-to-date financials, and we'll be in better shape in that area. Items remaining for me to do, big items, is that we still need to attack and address the affordability issue. We've gotten conflicting guidance from federal, state, and local agencies on the Tri-W. We have the Coastal Commission telling us one thing and Fish and Wildlife telling us something else. We have to work on that. Those two items are big on my agenda, and plus the budget. We've started our budget process. Those are big things that we hope to do over the next couple of months. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Committee reports. Finance Emergency Services Advisory Committee report. Yes. Apparently so.
Mr. President has asked to give this update, so I've got a quick update for you. The Emergency Services Advisory Committee met last Tuesday at the fire station. The first order of business was to elect a chair and a vice chair, which remained the same as the last go-around, so we've got some stability there. Two alternates were added to the committee, so that will help us make sure we have a quorum as well as give more public input. We received a presentation from retired Fire Chief Bob Newman, Danny O'Neill, who's a fire captain for Cal Fire, and Dave Mathey, who is the business manager for the San Luis Obispo Fire Safe Council. The three gentlemen talked about the Fire Safe Council statewide and how it works here in San Luis Obispo, and then briefed the Emergency Services Committee on how to form a focus group, as Mr. Schimpf talked about earlier. A focus group is a group that works under the umbrella of the Fire Safe Council. The Fire Safe Council's main goal is to improve the survivability of communities by reducing fire hazard. And what a focus group is able to do is work under the umbrella of the Fire Safe Council, obtain grant money for hazard abatement, for mapping, for infrastructure improvements such as identifying escape routes and giving better maps for the firefighters if a large wildland incident was to occur. So there'll be a couple of more meetings scheduled with that. I'm hoping to have a focus group up and running hopefully by midsummer. Again, as Mr. Schimpf said, it will be a community-wide. So we're going to focus on the Cabrillo Heights area, the Bayview Heights area, because that's where the greatest wildland threat is. But we'll also be working with the Fish and Wildlife Service on how to implement a hazard abatement throughout the rest of the district as well. So we talked about that. Another agenda item was finalizing the strategic plan that we were requested to do. Each of the committees were requested for the board and for Mr. Schimpf. So that moved from draft to a final version. I typed up a cover letter, and I'll have that on Mr. Schimpf's desk probably by sometime next week for the board. And I think that's it. Can I answer any questions?
Yes, Director Tacker. Oh.
I'll just add that we did set another date.
Yes, we did.
And a new time. So
and a new time.
You want to plug it?
As soon as you started, I knew.
May 20th at 5:30 at the fire station.
So the change there is it'll still stay as the third Tuesday of every month, so you can mark your calendars. The big change, though, is instead of meeting at 5 o'clock, we'll meet at 5:30, and the hope is that we can catch more folks as they're coming off their normal work day to attend these meetings. So 5:30, it's May 20th, and at the next meeting we'll be discussing the focus group and starting on the budget process. So there'll be a meeting in May as well as in June, third Tuesdays for sure. All right?
Thank you.
All right. Have a great night.
Thanks. Any director reports on attendance at other agency committee meetings? Yes, Director Schicker.
I attended the RAC meeting yesterday. Mr. Shemp was there as well. And that's the Water Resources Advisory Committee for the county. And the topic I attended for had to do with the Basin Plan Amendment, which we're going to be talking about later. But I made a plea to the committee to please write the supervisors formally and ask them to prepare comments because they are the land use authority. Into it are due April 7th, and their meeting's April 8th, so I don't know what that's about. Maybe if you could contact Public Works and Planning and find out, that'd be great. See what they're going to do. That's the meeting I attended. And there's a lot of talk about zebra mussels, too, for open space. There's a great concern that zebra mussels are invading our county and our waters, too. So those were the two main topics that were discussed when I was there.
Director Sparks.
Just that the Water and Finance Advisory Committee will meet next Wednesday, the 9th, at 6:30 p.m. at the district office. And we'll have an agenda. We're going to agenda tomorrow.
Okay, those are the only committee reports we have. We'll move on to the consent calendar and at this time take public comment on any of the administrative committee reports or consent calendar items.
Mr. President,
yes, I'll
Director pull Sparks. Number five.
Okay, you will want number five pulled for a separate vote discussion.
It's clarifications from the GM, and then we'll have a separate vote, of course.
Okay. Yes.
I'm going to pull a Richard Markison on you before my time starts. Could you clarify that the difference between the Bagley-Keene Act and the Water Code, one is government code, one is the Clean Water Act, and when I was speaking earlier, I was not talking about the Basin Plan. Would you have legal
counsel? We determined that.
Would you please?
We determined that. We let you speak. You're going to be wasting
but
your time.
But the audience out there doesn't know that, do they? And so my time was interrupted, and I didn't get everything out that I was wanting to.
You got your time.
Okay, but I didn't know what I was talking about.
Yes, you might have been shaken, and once
and
it happened,
I didn't know that.
Happened.
Other than
neither did I.
Joe Sparks did not know what he was talking about.
Okay, let's start the 3 minutes now.
Okay. I'm just going to speak about water ops and how that if you're going to use federal money for a wastewater project, you have to have a water reuse element. Now, the board, the supervisors, is trying to say, no, they don't need a water reuse element, and that they expect to spend $35 million to import water to a community that has plenty of water. And I would say that was one more place where they are wrong to begin with, and they're not only wrong in the money that they're going to try to spend later on, but they're wrong trying to spend the money of the community on a wastewater treatment facility that not only does not have a water reuse element, but they're also not talking about denitrification.
Now, I was talking earlier about the reclamator, and I'm not going to get into that as far as that is concerned, but when the regional board tries to tell us that discharge from our septic tanks is illegal, with something like the reclamator, where you don't have that kind of discharge. And that being said, when the Board of Supervisors staff tells you that they don't have a water reuse element and that they don't need one because of 2701, the law states that if a lower law, state law, or community law, an ordinance, comes into conflict with a higher law, that the higher law takes precedent. Federal code will take precedent on the water reuse element. Just keep that in mind when you guys go to talking about the water, which is, of course, water ops. Thank you.
That was a stretch.
Martha Golden, two comments about Chief Vanaris's report. First, I would like to thank the community and remind them how wise they were to vote for the fire tax increase a few years back. It is that increase which enabled us to have the wonderful services that we have from our fire department here in Los Osos, and that's the services, particularly every time the chief reports on the number of simultaneous calls we have for emergency service. If we have 18 and 20 foot ditches dug for a conventional sewer and big pipe, we are going to be faced with lots of cave-ins of that sort, because that's what happens when you dig down into sand. Again, I would urge the community, the members of the board, and anybody who can remind the TAC, the county, anybody who has to do with planning a wastewater treatment system, that we are in dire danger of having collapses of the sort that almost took the lives of two young people in this community. Thank you.
George Taylor, Los Osos. First of all, I would like to ask that consent item number 7 be pulled so that the public can hear the complete story behind this item. Item number 7 states, adopt resolution authorizing execution of amendments to the Memorandum of Understanding with Miscellaneous Employee Bargaining Unit, unquote. Please tell us the rest of the story so that we can stay informed on what is going on in our local branch of government. Also, please pull item number 9 so that we can get a feel of where you are going with our advisory committees. Also, I'd like to address item the administrative reports, B1, utilities manager. And before you stop me, I want to just say that Mr. Milanis opened the door on this. In my opinion, any use of CSD water district equipment on vehicles that doesn't directly benefit the water district or customers should be regarded as a misuse of public funds, regardless of whether permitted by a CSD policy. Were any of you board members aware of policy 5040, February 2000? Do you forgive a bank robber if he promises not to do it again? This board will have lost all credibility if you don't make all the facts public and make the punishment harsh enough so that nothing will like this will happen again. apparently the CSD utilities manager has a problem differentiating between what is right and what is wrong. With that, this attitude, how can he be trusted to discipline his workers or for misconduct on their job? Thank you.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I would like to address the minutes and what I said. Under General Action Items A, I would like the minutes to reflect that there was no real public interest in some committees, not all committees, because clearly two committees filled up, and I wasn't referring to those. Also, I mentioned something about directors, if the directors found the committees useful to them, and I'd like the minutes to reflect that. Also, I was at the RAC meeting yesterday, and if you wanted your comments in the public review draft, you needed to get them in by April 7th, but you could still make comments up until May 9th. And the third thing I'd like to say is that there was quite a bit of trenching dug on the last sewer project, and there weren't any accidents then. The contractors put in safety measures to ensure that things don't happen. Thank you.
Susan Cha, Los Osos. Well, as I recall, in the beginning of the last project, flooding to several homes costing thousands of dollars. Well, anyway, on to what I came up to speak about, and I do believe trenching would be a disaster in our community. With the sand here, it'd be a total disaster. This has to be looked at, and it has to be considered carefully. But anyway, George Milanis, when his contract came up for renewal, yes, he has been here 9 years. He was with the previous board. And yes, he knew about saltwater intrusion, renewing his contract. And this, we are in dire straits on the edge of bankruptcy, and that was not brought up. That was a fat contract. And then when it was brought before the board at a meeting, it was not brought before public comment. And I believe Julie Tacker voted no. Lisa voted abstain. And you three voted yes. But without public comment, how can you give such a big contract to someone that has now done this violation and then check? Oh, thank you, sir. We forgive you. No, that's not how it goes. That's a big contract.
Any further public comment on the consent calendar or the administrative reports that we received? It would help speed up the pace of the meetings if you could be ready to give that comment at the end of the previous speaker's term. Thank you. And I'm not just signaling out for you. I'm saying for everyone.
Well, I appreciate the admonishment. And I don't take it as an admonishment, but I'll go ahead and start my time, please. My name is Al Barrow, and I have been spent about 15,000 hours at these meetings in the last 10 years. And I just wanted to address the water remarks, the water ops. First of all, the water ops is cross-booked with a very, very important meeting that same day. And I would appreciate it if you try to find a way to unbook that so that it wouldn't conflict with Brock Dolman's presentation, if that's possible. Could you please request that the director that announced the meeting at the same time? It's really hard. I want to be on the Wastewater Ops Committee, and the first meeting is important. But I also want to go to Brock Dolman's presentation for sustainable communities. He is a worldwide expert. He's providing a lot of excellent information. There will be a lot of people attending, and I would appreciate that we could be able to attend both events. It's really important. We'll never see a man of this quality come to this town again as far as the environment goes. 3,000, that's full build-out water for 80 years. I hardly think we're running out of water. I mean, conserving water is wonderful, but we're not running out of water. The lower aquifer has 452,000 acre-feet. Unfortunately, that's not sustainable because of the saltwater intrusion. We do need to stop pumping it. But I would like to know, Mr. Milanis said that he had the constituents on the new well on South Bay, but he didn't say how many milligrams per liter nitrogen was in that, and I would like to know that. I think that's an important issue, something we've been talking about a lot. So I think it's recharging the water and letting it run out into the bay is not really a profit for us. I think if you put the water in an agricultural crop or you put it in a tree or something like that, then you benefit far more by it than just by letting it go in the bay. Thank you.
Director Schicker. Okay, you want to wait?
Richard Margetson, if George is watching, I didn't take the photos. I tried to make that very clear. They were given to me by a member of the community, and George wasn't under surveillance. The gentleman observed this going on at his property when driving down the street past his house. But I do find his response a little disingenuous when he said, when this was brought to my attention, I knew I was wrong. Didn't he know he was wrong when he was using it then? Or in the past when employees borrowed equipment or they borrowed the trailers to move or people took equipment home over the weekend? He didn't know then, but he got caught. So now all of a sudden he knew it was wrong. In the next couple of days, watch the replay of this and what he actually said. And for the district manager, that's fine. That may be the law that he can't divulge what's happening as far as disciplinary action. This was a use of public funds for private purpose, and the community has the right to know how this is being handled. And for him to use the excuse of, well, I've been here 9 years and I've done my job, well okay, I'm sure Mr. Shemp can probably answer this, George has already left, but in his report on the first page it says total water produced for the month of February 2008 was 50.48 acre-feet. Blah, 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 goes on, and it says, this production represents a 19.7% decrease over January 2007 monthly production, total of 60.44. I know in the past in his reports he's always correlated it to the exact same month the previous year, and I'm just wondering if January is wrong or if the acre feet's wrong, and I have a reason for asking this because I'm kind of tracking the production for the district for another purpose. So if I could get an answer to that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
I don't know if we can give you an answer tonight on the utility manager's report. I think he's left, and yeah, that I can't do. Additional public comment.
Yeah, Michael Jones, Los Osos. Yeah, there were a few things that bothered me about Mr. Milanis' response. One thing is he comes up here and he says the problem isn't systemic, yet in his own memo to the board, he says that this is something that we've do all the time and we've done for years. So I didn't get that comment. I didn't get Mr. Shemp's comment. I just read the article in the paper after making my public comment. For Mr. Shemp to say that it's not clear that district policy has been violated, I do not see how he could say something like that, because the Rule 5040, as stated by myself and others tonight, is pretty clear. And then it really does bother me. I mean, he says it's the law that you guys don't have to disclose what action has been taken regarding this, but I cannot believe that a law has not been violated here. So, and I don't get that. I hope that the public pursues action on this, because that's just wrong for you to say, number one, that district policy has not been violated, and for number two, that it's hard for me not to believe that a law has not been violated. Thank you for my time.
Just for the record, as the general manager said, both federal and state labor laws require the general manager and the board to refer.
Talk about the Regional Water Quality Control Board's.
No, we're still on administrative reports and consent calendar.
Oh,
and that's a separate agenda item all by itself.
Okay. I just don't want to miss my turn again.
No, we'll call you. Make sure. Any additional comments on the reports or the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. And Director Schicker, you had a comment?
I forgot to say something that was really important conversation at the RAC yesterday. It was about the Morro Bay situation and nitrates. And if I could ask the audience, I can't talk and at the same time. What was being discussed is why the nitrates in Morro Bay are so high. The nitrates in Morro Bay, if you haven't heard, are 2 to 3 times the drinking water standard. They have a sewer. They don't have septic tanks. So the question is, why do they have such high nitrates? That's the mystery. At first, it was blamed on ag. That's one of the theories, that the ag wells, the ag is causing the nitrate pollution. Now, in Los Osos, we have ag too, but it's not ag, it's the septics. Now, a Range 4 wastewater treatment operator did some photos and did an investigation and did a report at the RAC about leaking large pipe. It had to do with trenching. Trenching is what reminded me of it. They think now that the large pipe was affected by the earthquakes, and that the large pipe that goes from Cayucas to Morro Bay is leaking raw sewage. So the trenching issue is not only the shoring and the safety issues, which is what we were talking about tonight, but the trenching, it's the big pipes. It's the big pipes that leak, and if they leak raw sewage, it's called INI, infiltration into the ground, and it's very nasty. And so now they're thinking that the nitrates are being caused by the leaky sewer pipes. It's just another theory. So is it ag, or is it the sewer pipes, or is it both? And the most interesting speaker about that was Bill Bianchi, which is Shirley Bianchi's husband, the ex-supervisor. He thinks that it's the leaky pipes and not the ag.
He's a geologist.
And he's a geologist. He has some credentials. He has a PhD in geology. So just something else to share about trenching, big pipes, maybe why it might not be the best thing for Los Osos, because we are in an earthquake zone and we have sandy soils and we could really potentially get this leakage thing going on.
Exfiltration.
Exfiltration is the word.
X when it leaks from the pipe.
You look for. And Marla Bruton of Morro Bay has been in contact with me about what to expect when human sewage comes in, and you guys did a water report and you did look at everything. And the Cleese report, from my understanding, for Morro Bay really did very little to identify additional contaminants, the pesticides, and the phosphors that would be expected to be found with fertilizer. I mean, there are different profiles to each one, and I was hoping to be involved with them on that. And did Marla present material on that? Well, okay. But yeah, it really is. There are 11 contributions to the pollution in Morro Bay, and we're only one of them. Thank you.
Are you wanting to comment on the consent calendar or the administrative reports? Okay, because I had asked for
30 seconds.
Okay.
We dodged a big bullet. Somebody that borrowed equipment could have lost a limb, toe, whatever, and sued the CSD all the way. And we dodged the big bullet many times, probably. And if you're going to rob a bank, steal a car, and you have an accident, the insurance company of the car pays for it. Thank you.
We're also at risk of a lawsuit for anything that gets said about this. That puts us in a very tricky position because the fact that we're not expressing tremendous outrage seems to make people think that we think it's okay. It's not okay. Let's see. Why don't we go ahead and act on the items that haven't been pulled, and then we'll take a break.
Can I ask a quick point of clarification from the general manager? On item 9, I didn't see anything in the packet. Can you announce the alternates that are going to be approved?
Thank you. Yes, the three alternates are Alon Perlman and Norman Reich for the emergency service
bargaining unit.
Since we have a resolution, we need a roll call vote on the entire... okay, got it this time.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Schicker?
Yes.
Director Sparks?
Yes.
Vice President Tacker?
Yes.
President Sasania?
Yes.
Mr. President, if the majority of the people here are here to speak on the basin plan, do we want to switch the two or...
We're going to take a quick break, but there was a request from the public that 7 be pulled from the consent calendar as well as 5. I thought...
There was, but I think we just approved it anyway.
Yes, we did.
The staff report's been available since Monday. There may have been some amendments to the staff report
Minor?
We got another copy today.
The only significant thing that you did not have on Monday was the wage scales.
Yeah, so I think the details are in the staff packet, and it's too lengthy to go into right now.
Okay, with that, let's take a break, and then we'll come. Yeah, we're going to take a break, and then we'll do 5, and then the other agenda items. Okay, we're back. Thank you. We're going to resume with consent calendar item number 5, approve warrant register from March 2008, and hope this is not painfully long. Did you have anything you wanted to mention before we get started on the public comment?
Yeah, I had sent some questions to Mr. Shemp earlier today, and he had provided a response, and just to clarify, on 1686, check number, on the Burke William Sorensen, it's broken down into administration and this administration wastewater project. I'd like him to clarify the second, because we have a wastewater project frozen fund, and define how that's getting allocated. And I think there's actually going to be further breakout through the first admin, with some of it going...
Problem with expenses being incurred for wastewater items, and there is no line item for that this year. So so they're all unfortunately going to admin. In next year's budget, you will see I'm going to be recommending that we put a modest amount in wastewater for legal expenses, because until all of the litigation is completed, we will continue to be running up some bills in that area.
Yeah, I agree it should be parked in a separate adjunct account, or however you determine it. The Sullivan bills related to PISLDIF, those are being charged to admin. That allocation, same thing. I don't agree with that. And then at the very end, there's South Bay Law Firm, again, that's got wastewater project. In that case, that is coming from what's called the frozen funds. And based on the decision back in December of 06, that the Michael Goodhue from the South Bay Law Firm, who represents the creditors committee, has a maximum monthly amount that he can receive, and so that is what determines that. And so in that case, it's actually paying, it shows $20,000, but it's paying for two separate months per the agreement made with the bankruptcy court, correct?
That's correct, and those do come out of the frozen fund, so in that sense, but those are mandated by the court.
We're going to take public comment on consent calendar item number 5 right now. You had other things you wanted?
I just looking at the last page, we have a check 3801 and 3802 for $0 and 0 cents. We wrote a check for $0 and 0 cents, or?
I have no idea. Okay. My guess is, but it's only a guess, because it was a spoiled check.
I just see an amount for no amount.
I got a check for 2 cents from the state once.
That was your 2 cents worth.
Yes, Mr. Barrow.
Thank you. My understanding was the county and everybody, agreed to $200,000 from the frozen funds to be used for these wastewater purposes. So it seems odd that we would bill them to admin unless we would mark them as a, you know, like we did in the past with the other wastewater things, is put a note on them that they will be, the admin will be refunded by that fund for those costs. Just saying.
Yes, Director Schicker.
Quick correction or clarification. Joe, did you say that you thought the South Bay law firms were frozen funds? Is that what you said? They're coming from frozen funds? Did you say that for the South Bay law firms?
Yeah, they are.
I don't think they're coming from frozen funds. Could you check that? Because I remember being required to pay that out of our own funds and not the frozen funds.
I don't think so.
But
no, it's been that way since the get-go.
Yeah,
so this is coming out of the $2 million?
Yes.
Ma'am.
Not $200,000, but out of the $2
million. Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
That's right.
Yes.
Richard Margotson, page 3. About halfway down the page, check 16794. To Mr. Shemp, two items, $349.50 for meal and lodging reimbursement. That one's understandable. But the $375.22 mileage reimbursement, I'm just curious, don't we still have the district vehicle that Bruce used to drive? And wasn't it district policy that was supposed to be used for out-of-town conferences to save the district the mileage reimbursement? Wasn't that the policy in the past? I'm just asking a question. Then the next question I have, I'm sure there's some explanation for this, is on page 5, about a third of the way down the page, check 16851 to Mr. Shemp for $5,400 for rent reimbursement. And then further down the page, the 16862 to Sullivan and Associates, the 268150, is there accompanying documentation showing that's only the district's 25%? Those are my three questions at this point.
Would you repeat that third one?
The third one? On that same page, page 5, further down the page, check 16862 for Sullivan and Associates for $2,681.50. And my question was, is there accompanying documentation showing that that's the district's 25% of the total bill for January?
I'm sure that is probably the 25% of the bill. What are you asking, if we have proof that other people have paid the other 75%.
You brought it up. I'm just...
No, that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I am.
I have no way of knowing that. I have no way of asking her for that.
It's no problem.
The bills come in, and they are... Your answer is yes. The bills are stated that they are 25% of...
The bill.
The end of the bill. And it may not necessarily all be January. Sometimes the way these roll in, that payment may have incurred...
For a couple months or whatever. Yeah. And then can I get an answer to the other questions, the other two questions?
I believe we had some living expense reimbursement. Mr. Schempf, do you want to take that on?
Yes. First, the rent reimbursement is part of the contract.
Okay.
It's not listed as rent reimbursement. It's listed as temporary living expenses.
On here it says rent reimbursement, but...
Well, but that's what it is.
Okay.
Also part of my contract negotiation was that I would not use the district vehicle, and therefore I don't. And there's two rationales for that. Number one, it's the district vehicle is not cost effective, and as soon as the insurance ends, i.e. the end of June, we intend to sell it. Number two, the reason, quite frankly, is that when Mr. Senate and I went to training up in the Bay Area, I have friends and family in the Bay Area, so in the evening, I drove to those. I would not be able to do that in the district vehicle. On the training in question here, my wife, who's never been to California, went with me to that training, and I would not be able to do that. And I knew that when I signed up for my contract and specifically eliminated that.
So the district vehicle is no longer going to be around after it, and that wouldn't be more cost effective than $375 in mileage?
I haven't seen that analysis yet, so I don't have an answer for that yet.
Okay, but I'll be glad to provide it. It's nationwide standard.
I know. Well, how much of that mileage was then used to go build? I mean, then we're into how much of it was used to go visit relatives.
Well, that's easy.
Mr. Margeson, would you please return to this?
That's easy enough to figure out. You can check mileage from here to the place of training. I mean, that is not an issue.
David Los Sosos, I'm kind of in with Richard Margeson on this 25% versus the remainder for Pizzledif. The fact that how you distinguish how much work she actually does for the CDO recipients compared to what she does to you, that to me is a really hard to, and without actual seeing the cost breakdown, I'm just really worried that it's not equitable for the CSD. Yeah, maybe. The Pizzledif may be taking up the bulk and unnecessarily, but it's hard to show that with a 25-75% split. And I think this is the discussion we had when this first came up, that this should not never have met, that Twain should never have met. And other than that, a remark on the CSD's vehicle, I don't blame him for not using it in the first place, because it's probably not cost-effective just by miles per gallon as far as actual use is concerned. And I would suspect that he wouldn't put down mileage he went to visit. I would suspect that he would only charge the mileage for going to and from whatever event or whatever situation he was going from. And then I think I read something in the paper or heard it on the radio about this exact situation where people were using their vehicles for other things as well as things they were supposed to be doing for their agency, and that it was hard to prove one way or the other who is benefiting the most and who is being paid back the right way. So I don't blame him for taking his own vehicle to begin with. But second of all, we have to, somewhere along the line, trust but verify that he's not using it for personal purposes, which I think is another subject that we broached today. Thank you.
Leon Golden. Looking at these schedules, I'm not going to talk about the various things, but I want to talk about your relationship with your finance committee, if you ever get one up and running. It seems to me, if ever there was a piece of paper that should be vetted by your finance committee, and perhaps an executive summary, as a matter of fact, you know how much I believe in executive summaries, prepared for this, because it won't, well, you know, anybody who's been around this community for any period of time can pretty well identify what questions are going to be raised here. There are all sorts of other questions which at this moment I think is not, no point to it, but certainly your finance committee should look at this, should see, should vet it, should see where the problems are, and to inform you about this so that it doesn't end up to be silly time, because there are all kinds of $5.35 things which you wonder about, and I wonder about, and other questions which come up. And I would hope that, among other things, we could get next time some report which shows, just for one example, whether when you're going to Miner's Hardware, are you paying what anybody who walks in the door pays? Or are you getting some government rate? Or some contracted rate with a discount of some sort because you're a buyer who buys many things? Or perhaps you shouldn't be buying from Miner's Hardware. Those questions need to be answered. And I understand that you haven't followed, this has not been sent to the Finance Committee in the last couple of years and should have been. But I hope you will consider your relationship with your committee and get the help that you need. You guys don't have staffs like the Board of Supervisors do. You should get somebody to vet this.
On the item five, I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. The 25% of Shauna Sullivan's bill, her bill was itemized by the month, so much for this month or whatever. The point that I want to make is that we are asking for attorney's funds in that lawsuit, and even though the the Attorney General sends a man down to defend the Water Board in their illegal acts with our money. We could possibly even get multipliers, and there's a good possibility that the CSD board will get their 25% back if we do prevail in that civil rights lawsuit. It is a definite civil rights offense. So, and Ms. Sullivan is not paid in full every month by the rest of us. Some of the people are not able to pay who have cease and desist orders. My wife's been doing pretty good in spite of what the market is, but I don't know how long this down market's going to be. And maybe if we start putting reclamators in, we can sell houses that won't be looking at a $300 a month sewer bill. Oh, and one other thing. If we don't run those leaky pipes through our clean aquifer, we'll stand a better chance of being able to use the water. I can't understand. Bianchi said that the
Corps of Engineers wouldn't even let us cross a creek with a sewer line. Can you imagine running a sewer line that you couldn't cross a creek with through our clean aquifer or our reservoir underneath the... Boy, thank you. Bye.
Additional public comment on consent calendar item number 5. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board, and I'll entertain motions.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve agenda item number 5.
I'd like to ask you to use your microphone, please.
I thought it was on. Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve agenda item, consent calendar item number 5.
I'll second that. All in favor, signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Okay, general action item A, review draft amendments to the Regional Water Quality Control Board Basin Plan relative to on-site waste treatment systems and authorize comments. Maybe to start this, I could read this letter from Rob Miller that he had sent, some general comments sent to the district. This is from our district engineer. It seems to me that the amendments leave intact Los Osos-related items from 1983, but there are certain changes that are of more general interest as follows. One, the amendments emphasize the responsibility of local county government to implement on-site wastewater system management plans. It will be important for the CSD to clarify its responsibility to prepare or implement such a plan, since the language appears to shift some or all of the responsibility to the county. Two, the design and implementation of advanced or alternative on-site systems is tied to the preparation of an on-site wastewater system management plan, which again requires action on behalf of the county prior to subsequent approvals. Three, the frequency of septic tank pumpings is formalized to a period of 5 years, which has been a subject of substantial discussion in past meetings. Four, if implemented as drafted, individuals seeking a septic system permit outside of the prohibition zone will be required to apply for and obtain a waiver from the regional board under the proposed policy. Five, the staff reports emphasize the uncertain timing of future regulations under AB 885. Again, that was from Rob Miller, district engineer, to the CSD. As you've heard, there are some proposed basin plan amendments, I think Monday or Tuesday is the deadline for comments. The hearing will be on the 9th of May down at the Regional Water Quality Control Board offices. I don't know if we put copies of the proposed amendments out here. I guess they are, and they're also available online. It's quite a bit of reading, and anybody have comments before we turn to the public for their input?
I have a question.
Yes.
Do we intend to send comments from our board? And if we do, that's what I want to hear from the public.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the consensus here, that we are going to respond?
I think we at least need to respond and ask them why they could be proposing these things without having individually notified everybody who owns a septic tank in the five-county area that they own. I don't think newspaper notices are really adequate for this substantial an amendment, and maybe more time or more noticing. But beyond that, I guess that's what we're going to take comment about.
Okay, so that helps me.
Okay, then we'll go to general public comment or a public comment on action item A.
I just wanted to say briefly, I am interested in sending comments from the district. I would like to hear from you what you think those comments should be at this time. Again, they're due. We have to do something tonight, And I also want to send comments to the county, because as county is being land use authority, a lot of these proposals have to do with the county. I think we should also be sending a letter to the county. That's where I'm coming from right as of right now, until I hear from you.
Yes, sir.
I'm Tom Murphy, Los Osos. I have a few sheets here. I'm going to read this. If you like, I'll pass it out, and you can follow along with me. Is that acceptable?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, first, I'll just comment real quickly that the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board does not have jurisdiction to impose on your private property. Okay? A septic tank is permitted to discharge pollutants. That's what it is. It does what it does. It doesn't need monitoring. It only needs pumped occasionally. And we're about to eliminate all the septic tanks in this county anyway. So you're right that this is a little bit not timely. The Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, I believe, is about to lose total authority within their entire jurisdiction. And if my plan comes true, we will have the authority, and there won't be any discharges within their jurisdiction anymore. To start with, the federal law states this. This is Title 33, Chapter 26, Section 1370, State Authority, except as expressly provided in this chapter, nothing in this chapter shall, one, preclude or deny the right of any state or political subdivision thereof or interstate agency to adopt or enforce, A, any standard or limitation respecting discharges of pollutants, or B, any requirement respecting control or abatement of pollution, except that if any effluent limitation or other limitation, effluent standard, prohibition, pretreatment standard, or standard of performance is in effect under this chapter, such state or political subdivision in or interstate agency may not adopt or enforce any effluent standard or other limitation, effluent standard, prohibition, pretreatment standard, or standard of performance, which is less stringent than the effluent limitation or other limitation, effluent standard, prohibition, pretreatment standard, or standard of performance under this chapter. Now, the standard of performance under this chapter, Section 1316, requires a standard for the control of a discharge of pollutants which reflect the greatest degree of effluent reduction. Where practicable, which means possible, a standard permitting no discharge of pollutants to be applied at any source or discharge and enforced by the state. This effluent standard is possible and available for implementation everywhere, now and as such is required by the state authority. May I finish?
Sir, this, you've only gotten halfway through your page.
Well, I just have a small amount left, and it wraps it up.
It seems, yes, you have some, okay.
Now, this limitation, which is required by federal law, is defined in Section 1316, National Standard of Performance. The definitions states the standard of performance means a standard for the control of the discharge of pollutants which reflects the greatest degree of effluent reduction. This is what we are proposing for the community. It's been required by federal law. So for them to impose requirements is not legal. Thank you.
I have a question for Mr. Murphy. I'm sorry. Mr. Tom Murphy. This is an agenda item to review draft amendments to the Regional Water Corridor Basin Plan relative to on-site wastewater treatment systems. And would you like us to incorporate Section 1370 of the state code into the basin plan?
What this states is they're not able to waive discharge requirements associated with on-site systems.
I'm asking, are you requesting us to send comments to the regional board asking them to incorporate
yes.
Section 1370
yes.
into the basin plan?
Precisely. because this is their, what they're required to do. Now, this is a basin plan required. The basin plan must meet a certain water quality standard. The water quality standard is what's on the back table back there.
You just answered the question, so you don't have to go on.
Okay. Is that the answer? Did I answer the question?
Asked and answered.
The basin plan must require technology that eliminates discharge of pollutants if it's available.
Thank you.
Okay.
Patrick Sparks. I spoke earlier tonight, so I think you know who I am. It's, look, what you haven't heard tonight is that we're seeking a demonstration project for the entire Estero Bay area. Ms. Schicker was there when I presented it at that meeting, and I attached some documents, so I'm not attaching them here tonight. But what we need to do is be able to qualify this entire area for the 75% grants that are available from the federal government and show that an aging infrastructure problem in Morro Bay and Cayucas can be cured by pretreatment technology, and that the septic systems that you have here in this town can be replaced by something that's going to provide a reusable resource. It's pretty simple. I invite you guys to come out tomorrow morning, if you like, at 9 o'clock. These are sterile samples that you can come pull, reclamator samples, and go get them checked and evaluated on your own. If you're worried about chain of custody issues, I suggest you just come and pull your own. And everyone here is invited to do that. As to AB 2701, I know that this board has always been concerned that you're exceeding some authority that's been taken away from you if you involve yourself in a reclamator technology. But it's a pretreatment technology, and I've provided legal opinion. It concerns this, that the Community Services District can actually enter into an agreement with AES. And what I would like to see is that if we're proposing a demonstration project, that you guys actually support it. And what we need to do is present that to the State Water Board. So, and the other option is, of course, when Paavo Ogren has an opportunity to look at the pre-EIR that's going to be coming out on September 2nd, is to go with a no option. I would hope that this board would advise them to go with the no option, that it can be done more as the lowest responsible and responsive bidder to this project. AES has already proven that, and you can see that in the executive summary. As to what's going on with this particular document, this power grab by the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board to actually be involved on on-site management systems is a problem. And I'll posit that it's arbitrary and capricious when they actually make us, and I would like that included in it, that this idea that, in fact, what they're trying to do is waive requirements is beyond their authority as an administrative agency of an executive branch. They don't have the authority to do that. They can apply these laws in arbitrarily and capriciously to give their friends or whoever it is they want to whatever it is that they want to give them, and then still have the problems occurring in the community. So it's a major problem as far as I'm concerned. They haven't shown that they're trustworthy. We've given them already samples of reclamated water, and they haven't even said whether or not it's a discharge of a pollutant. They're well in excess of what their authority is. The EPA has already mandated what it is that they should be doing. They're not doing it. Now they're trying to actually grab more power, and it's ridiculous. So I'll answer any questions if you have any at this time. I would like to comment one brief comment, if I might, concerning this. This is their Attachment A, 2008-0006, and it shows the no impact of a septic system type of system, which is in an essence the same footprint that a reclamator would have. So the environmental impact, as you can see, is no impact. And when you compare that to a community collection system, there's not even a close comparison. Thanks.
I have a question.
Sparks to Sparks.
I got my golf hat on, so I'm just pretending I'm on like 9 in Morro Bay.
You mentioned a responsible bidder for.
Yeah.
What RFQ are you responding to?
Well, first of all, you've got a 218 that you've voted for.
Just a simple answer. What RFQ are you responding to?
Well, we're responding to the nitrate level.
No. What RFQ are you responding? You said you're a responsible bidder.
I'm not actually hearing what you're asking then.
You said you're a responsible bidder for a project. What are you to what RFQ are you a responsible bidder to?
Well, there isn't one, but there's a Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board problem, which if you guys go with it this way, then what you're saying, in effect, is that whatever
Thank
the EIR
you. I think
said,
you answered his question. There's no RFP that's been put out yet. Director Schicker.
I had a question, Mr. Sparks. When you were saying this report, what report is it called and where is it? And I don't have it in front of me. What is it called?
This is what you're actually talking about tonight.
I thought you prepared. Did you prepare something?
I did. There's an executive summary of what AES does, and I provided to your Karen Vega.
Did you just do it today?
I did.
So I didn't. We don't
have
it yet. Okay, so it's an executive summary from AES that you kind of went back and forth, and I lost it there for a minute.
Okay.
Part of you prepared a summary about AES and what they're doing.
Yes.
And then how it relates to the Basin Plan proposed amendments?
No.
Or no, not really. Just
well, again, you know, it's a slightly off topic relative to what the overall scope is, and I agree that my comments are slightly off topic relative to the issue that Mr. Sparks indicated. Mm-hmm. But I'm gravely concerned that when you just take the numbers and you, regardless of what responsible bid means, if there's no call for bid, but see what's going to happen, if I might, what's going to happen is that the community collection system is only going to have a no option. According to Pava Ogren, who we went and saw, myself and Mark Lowe, an agent from AES, DES went and spoke with him, and the issue is whether or not they're even going to consider these on-site treatment systems, and they're not going to. And so that's not going to be one of the lowest responsible bidders. He said only community collection will be available for bid. There'll be a no option on the pre-EIR that comes out on September 2nd. And this is what I'm asking you guys to look at, is whether or not you should be using whatever capital you have to say the no option is what needs to be done here.
Okay, but my question now is, swinging it back around to this basin plan and us making comments or not, do you think we should make any, and what should they be?
Yes, I do think you should make some. First of all, this issue as to the EIR, or the impacts on attachment A for a septic system and the footprint that a septic system has. You can see that all the columns are boxed, no impact. So as soon as you start to look at what this says, in effect, in terms of the EIR impact, the environmental impact report, this is attachment A. I don't know how it's listed. It could be 2000, or it could be number 005. I've seen it listed different ways. I'm not sure exactly how it is. But when you're looking at this and you're thinking about a reclamator and making a recommendation that perhaps it should be better evaluated by the county as to the no option, that the reality is that the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board is already acknowledging in effect that the EIR is de minimis. And really what the problem is in Resolution 2008, this one here, is that it's arbitrary and capricious. I would certainly want this board to acknowledge to these guys at the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board that they are exceeding their administrative authority as an executive agency, that they've gone well beyond what the federal law will mandate for them to do, as you heard Mr. Murphy say.
And by their ability of issuing waivers?
That's correct. They can't actually issue a waiver.
And do you have a citation for us on that or no?
No, I don't currently.
They've always issued waivers.
Well,
I've never understood that, but they always issue waivers. I don't. You know, they say, no, you can't, but we can issue a waiver when we feel like it.
Right.
And that's always, to me, seemed kind of odd.
It's selective enforcement, okay. And it's way beyond what I believe that their authority is to do. See, here's the problem. The reality is that AES sent them from the NSF taste testing in 1994 all the information that they needed to know. They should have never implemented another septic system. It should have never happened. But then they did it anyways. And so I'm saying they're not trustworthy. There's a problem. And they're saying, well, you can trust us to continue to do business as usual. We'll just selectively enforce, which, you know, if it's my friend, I can just say, well, I don't need to. That's the very nature of what arbitrary and capricious is.
You understand from our district engineer, he's stating that amendments live intact, Los Osos related items from 1983, and this on-site really governs outside the prohibition zone. So,
Did you want me to comment with regards to that?
No.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Additional public comment?
Ann Norman, Los Osos. You know, I think sending comments to the Water Board by the April 7th deadline is pretty important. I mean, I think because there was a failure to send comments about the Basin Plan back in 1983 is one of the reasons we're in such trouble now. And, you know, this is a complex document, and there's actually a lot of things that are proposed. And I think getting the comments in by April 7th would at least give a bit more clout to making the argument that they need to delay and get more public information. Issues that I see with it is that it's not clear to me whether the requirement for the on-site wastewater system maintenance district would fall on a county or a CSD responsibility. And I think there really needs to be clarity about that, because part of the responsibility of what that district would do would also be responsible for water conservation. And right now, the CSD can control water conservation issues within its purview, but there's a lot of Los Osos that gets its water supply by Golden State, and there's no really strong incentive for Golden State to do anything about this. So I think there's an opportunity here to get somebody on board as being responsible and having purview to influence water conservation. And I think their language in there about water conservation is encouraging. I mean, there's some other, but then there's other issues that I'm concerned about. There's quite a bit of language in here, and I want to make sure that the language changes don't increase the position of the RWQCB as far as their prosecution of the 45 Los Osos citizens. And I think some of the language might do that. Or if the sewer project, God forbid, you know, fails to move forward as it should, add clout to their ability to enforce against the whole community of Los Osos. There is no language recommending any change in the prohibition zone, and I think this is the time to do that. I know that that might throw a wrench in the works of the county plan and the assessment, but the prohibition zone has been a real issue all along, and if this is the time to comment on it, it would be now. Other things people in the community should know about is that properties with an enforcement action against them, this would now be part of the county's title report. So there's a lot of pretty powerful language in here that people should really take a look at. And it bears a lot more, and I encourage citizens to attend the May 9th hearing as well and make their comments there if they can't manage to get written comments in before April 7th. Anyway, that's my gleaning of it so far.
Ms. Norman, I have just one question. What did you say, or could you give me the page reference on that incorporating enforcement actions into county's what report?
The title report? Yeah.
Title report.
Yeah, it says here, prospective property buyers should be informed of any enforcement action affecting parcels or houses they wish to buy. Local agencies should ensure the terms of the enforcement action are entered into the county record for each affected parcel. When a prospective buyer conducts a title search, terms of the prohibition would appear in the preliminary title report. That's page 4 of this number 5. And that the other thing I forgot to mention is in this whole EIR checklist, you know, they basically say under hydrology and water quality 8B, page 6, that there would be no impact on the following, substantially depleting groundwater supplies or interfering substantially with groundwater recharge. You know, I think that this has implications for the groundwater basin, and to just write this off as a no impact is not appropriate.
Good evening again, Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. The thing that I believe, I want to recommend that everybody get in touch with Sorrel Marks,
see if we can get this on there. We got the address for the water board. That's where you'll turn in your screaming complaint that you weren't notified in time to make a good comment. You can email her. There's the email address on the bottom. It's all lower caps. Her phone number's on the top. If she emails you this stuff, I would recommend that you ignore the not that one. Okay. Well, anyway, there it is. Substitute environmental report. There's two of these. The one for 0005 is a substitute, and the one for 0006 just says negative declaration. These were the boxes that the lady ahead of me was talking about. Those are, if you get this emailed to you, I wouldn't even bother to print either one of them. They're just garbage that the water board's trying to tell you they're not don't have to comply with the environmental. ESHA, Environmental Quality Act, EQA, CEQA, that's it, whatever it is. I want to read to you this thing that I gave you a big copy of last time. I think everybody should memorize this law. It says, this is Water Code Section 13360. This is lowercase a in parentheses, no waste discharge requirement or other order of a regional board or state board or decree of court issued under this division shall specify the design, location, type of construction, or particular manner in which compliance may be had. Compliance. And the person so ordered, anybody with a CDO, anybody that agreed to have a cleanup and abatement, which you could be fined any amount they want to fine you for with a cleanup and abatement, and everybody who got a notice of violation can now, there is a person so ordered, shall be permitted to comply with the order in any lawful manner. And if you're putting in a machine that puts out zero discharge, you are in compliance.
Thank you.
And I'll let Mr. Murphy tell you about what it costs to do it, and he'll be advertising it, I'm sure. And it's a heck of a lot cheaper $300 a month. Okay, there's other wording on this thing.
Thank you.
Law and Prohibition Zone. This is the first time I've seen this, but actually, it looks like it's old hat. The new amendments, the amendment emphasizing responsibility of local county government. Item 1 needs to be read in view of the exact wording of AB 2701, because and it's been quite a while since I've looked at AB 2701, but I remember it had posed some very strange opportunities as regards, for example, septic tank management, I believe. While it stated that CSD cannot build a sewer within the prohibition zone, it strangely enough somehow stated that you can build one outside you can sewer the outside of the prohibition zone. And I think that there's some wording in there that you may need to read in concert with this to be able to understand what is under your purview and what isn't. But as a water purveyor, it is your responsibility to interact at this time because you are trying to protect your water supply and you're trying to help the water board normalize the actual quality of effluent entering into this ground basin. as opposed to anything else. LOCAC has seen land use of, in this last year, houses have been going up on acreage of less than half an acre. And so the question of the waiver is what? That these houses are already being built. The waiver is, you need to communicate with the water board to make sure that the waiver is not just a sort of get out of jail free card that they hand out willy-nilly, but communicate with them to understand that all septic tanks in and outside of the prohibition zone should be under some form of management other than a waiver. Because, for example, there's plans for, on the corner of Pines, in the property adjacent to the Tri-W, there's plans for 14 houses, and currently, I believe, there may or may not be a vested plan submitted to county for 7 houses to be built there, and that relates to specific delineations. Anything 7 and over requires a mini sewer. So there's a lot of uncertainties here, and I think you need to communicate to the Water Board about these uncertainties, about the fact that as long as AB 885 is uncertain, that land use and growth and the future of these resources is really not set. And I think you should really claim that the 5-year pumping period is something that came to the Water Board through the interaction with Los Osos members through the Water Board meetings. Thank you.
Martha Golden. In direct answer to the question, should the board send comments, yes. I think it's urgent. The problem is that most people haven't a clue that this is even before the water board. And those people who do know about it, many of them are like me. They're not very knowledgeable. They do not understand what all of these proposals are about. There are a couple of things that do appear clear to me. One is that there is no clarity as to who is the enforcing authority as far as who promulgates any kind of septic management plan within any entity. Is it the county as a whole? Is it the CSD? Is it some other entities? And this is going to impact, as I understand it, 50% of all the landowners in the county because they are on septics, but nobody knows about it. So the first comment that I think is urgently needed is STOP until the public is informed. That spells stop. Until the public is informed. And then a requirement that the water board summarize what it is they are proposing. Then I think that this body needs to recognize, and people out there in the public need to recognize, that from the little I understand about it, it appears that the water board wants to have it two ways. They want everybody else to have the responsibility to do something about septics, but they want to retain for themselves the right to decide, oh, you'll pump every 5 years, oh, we will enforce or we won't enforce when we feel like we will grant waivers, we won't grant waivers. And they want you, that's us the taxpayers, to pay another unfunded mandate. Now, those are just kind of general thoughts about this wonderful proposal that's floating out there unbeknownst to the entire county. You have heard from some people who seem to have read and digested these proposals and have given you some very good concrete suggestions. And from what I heard yesterday at the meeting, Nipomo made raised three issues, one of which relates to who's in charge here. And I would suggest you look at those and perhaps adopt those as well. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor, and I am one who has promoted and encouraged this board to look these this information over. Unfortunately or fortunately, the Water Board sets up dictates and has memorandums of understanding for which they never enforce. We had a situation in 1983 in which we were supposed to have an on-site wastewater management district, and the county was supposed to do it. Never happened. But there was a memorandum of understanding that the county would do it. Unfortunately, it never occurred. We have a problem. There was only one public notice from the first of the year that I noticed in the Tribune regarding this upcoming meeting and information that was coming out for the public to hear. I heard about it at the RAC. Sorrel Marks gave a presentation in January. There were those who sit on the RAC who are lawyers that said, good Lord, what are they trying to do to us? Tell us, those of us that have property outside and we only have 1 acre, that we can't have a septic system if we don't have more than 1 acre, or if we're going to have more than 5 or 7 houses, at that time they had it as 5 or 7 houses in one clustered area, that we were going to have a package plant for the sewering of those 5 or 7 homes. There are too many ambiguities in this basin plan, and it's unfortunate, but I concur with Mr. Miller, Rob Miller's, questioning of some of the things that he has on this list that he presented to you or letter. Please look at it. Please listen to what Mrs. Golden just said. Ask the Water Board to stop. They are trying to circumvent 885. That's what they're doing, because they couldn't get it through because the communities throughout the state were not for 885. And there are things in there that even those who have businesses of septic tank pumping said it would never go through, and therefore now the Water Board is using subterfuge to get around 885. Please look at it in a wide view and see what it is that can protect this community. Maybe we're going to have to look at it as a countywide rather than just this community. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Al Barrow. I live in Los Osos. Spent 9 months on the CSD Wastewater Committee working on an on-site management system. I'm a member of California On-Site Wastewater Association, where they have been working for 5 years on trying to come up with collaboration with the state and with the private. Can't fault the Water Board because they put out this information in November, but I do have to fault the district because the district got this document in November. We haven't been hearing about it at all. I'm sorry. We're not prepared. You could hear the speakers come up and say, well, in 5 days we're going to expect to make comments intelligently on this large document with very... I think the attorney should look at this. I think it should be vetted a little bit more clearly. Look on page 3. It does say local management. Local management. If the CSD has to manage this, that's a big impact. Then, again, there's another page here that says you have to pump every 5 years or, okay, if the sludge level gets up to 8 inches from the outlet, then you have to pump. So I think probably most responsibly would be to check every 5 years, just do an inspection and drop the pipe down in there and see. The problem is, if you don't have risers, if we'd had a septic management program, we would have required risers, so you could have done that. Right now, we're not in a position to do those kinds of things. So there's going to be a lot of expenses to the property owners. They're going to have to do a pay for a permit for a discharge application. They're going to have an inspection and a permit, and they're going to have to pay the inspector for that, which is probably going to be some pumper, and on and on. And then if they fail the inspection, then they might have to close their house down. So there's some serious impacts to all of these things, and I agree with most of the previous speakers, but we need to really go on this, and I agreed with what Rob Miller says. I went to Nipomo, and they had an issue on their at their meeting last week on this, and I think other people's are just beginning to get up on the radar. And Ricker from Department of Health Services told me last week that he was going to try to send us the stuff. He has the 1995 one that Howard Kolb did for the DHS in Santa Cruz County. That was the model that we used to try to implement. That had the fees and all the rest. I'm sorry, my time has run out, but please ask for a delay.
David and Los Osos, and they will tell you that they have met the requirements for noticing. Period. And that's going to be all she wrote. I've said it once, I'll say it again, if I haven't said it a dozen times, that you need some subcommittee to keep up. But the urgency of this notice was not well known to our general manager. Or maybe not, I'm not sure. I can't say that's what happened for sure. But if you look at this, they do make changes, and they do allow local agencies a wide variety of ways to bring on-site systems on. But what it states in there, and I'm not going to tell you specifically where it's at. I looked at it a couple of times, but they make the determination whether or not the local agency is doing the job. In other words, you can put in 1,000 systems, but if they decide later on it's not good enough, they violate those systems and the people, just like they violated the systems that we have now. And so, this is I don't know how you guys are going to get around this, because they're going to say we met the conditions for noticing, but that's what's in here. Also, too, there's a lot of should that have been changed to shall in there. But there's a lot of also that are still should. Certain entities should do this or should do that, which got us in trouble in the first place with the systems that we have now online. I don't know how you're going to, you're not going to ask, I know you're going to, if you do ask them to wait, that they're just going to smirk and say, too bad. So I wish I had specifics for you. I looked at this dozens of times in the last few weeks, and I saw where the flaws are at, but I thought you guys had it together, and I was wrong. And but I don't think it's going to make any difference, because they will do what they will. And even they've made changes now, they are, sorry.
Any additional public comment on action item A? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Any discussion here? Yeah, there's a lot.
This would be a plus for Los Osos CSD, is that we could then pursue wastewater management system. And in conversations with the county, she felt, would be more than happy to have us take over that responsibility. So she looked at it as a way for Los Osos to control its own future. And she also mentioned that the preliminary management plan that was developed a year or two or several years ago was pretty good, and a few sections needed to be updated. But basically, she felt that that was an excellent start. And so felt that we should be supporting this. That was the basics of the conversation.
It's just our apology to we just got up to speed on this, and it's too late to make, in my opinion, really detailed comments. And those of you who are speaking in the front row, I please ask you to just go in the back and talk. It's really hard. It's really hard to talk with that happening. What I'd like to do, though, is I still would like to send a letter tonight, and I think combining what I learned yesterday from the RAC, which are Napomo's comments, and Norman's comments, and Al's comments, and Miss Golden's comments, all are good if we want to include all those, but mainly the main one is you can make an apology that we were, you just got here, and I don't care how we do it, but we need more time to make really good comments. That's what I think. But I think we should make them both to the county and to the water board. Or you could call her up, and or maybe you already figured this out. Do we have to make comments by April 7th, or can we make them by May 9th? That's what I'd like to know first of all.
You can make them until May 9th, but they won't go in the recommendations.
They won't go in the record?
They won't go in the record to be presented to the board.
I was just thinking out loud that we draft something brief tonight and then continue to work towards that May 9th deadline and be very well prepared at that time so that our comments, because I don't know that they will stop. I don't know that Carmel Valley, Carmel Highlands, Prunedale, El Toro, Shandon, Templeton, Santa Margarita, Garden Farms, Los Osos, Baywood Park, Arroyo Grande, Napomo, Upper Santa Ynez Valley, Los Olivos, and Ballard. Why isn't this on the front page of the Tribune? All of these communities are facing these new regulations. This is a big deal. This is a big deal, and some of the things that they are asking for will trigger CEQA. How they think there is no impact is absurd. Just the sheer volume of communities and septic systems that will be affected triggers CEQA. For crying out loud, we just went through the APCD telling them, hey, you can't pump Los Osos once every 2 months. Is APCD watching this? The Air Pollution Control District. I hope they're watching it now, yes. Challenging the ability, I see this as challenging the ability to recharge our basin. That's the first, foremost, primary concern of this community. We need to recharge our basin, and if discharges are not allowed to continue, which I feel this is what we're leaning toward, this is further pressure to get the sewer, which I want, but the sewer has to discharge into our basin. And we need to talk more about this. And one thing that I know from hanging around all of you guys so long, is to implement a district and giving the CSD the authority to be the district for this, I believe will trigger LAFCO action and 218 votes. And if all of these communities are facing the same thing, this is a big deal. This is a very big deal. So I'm inclined to refuse to comply at all until the 45 CDOs are lifted from Los Osos and that we can talk with a clean slate. You can see that I'm a little upset by this. It is voluminous, and there are so many people involved. The best thing that comes out of it is that we're all using their bathroom and not our own. So those are my comments. I hope somebody can incorporate something friendly out of them.
Yes, Director Sennett.
Well, I see most of these changes as being tightening up of the regulations regarding new and reconstructed systems. There are significant things in here regarding the carryover of the perception that all discharges are prohibited in within the prohibition zone, particularly in section 8 point D, point 2, point G, 3. I would ask that they more fully describe the prohibition of discharge as it now exists, and that is that it's as depicted in the prohibition boundary map included as attachment A of, and then I would say and add, and as more particularly described in resolution 8313. They don't mention the resolution, only the statement that disposal systems are prohibited, beginning in 1988. And to my knowledge, there have been no discharge systems built since 1998. And that under 8313, discharges are allowed from systems that were constructed prior to 1988. So that's one of the things I would ask them to include, is that the provisions in 8313 are still in force and are not superseded by this document. Also, among other things, to, you know, when a public health hazard exists, nuisance condition, and then they say interim use of septic tank systems may be permitted where alternate parcels are held in reserve until sewer systems are available. And I would ask them to elaborate on that and explain it. I can't understand it unless, do you have any idea what they're speaking about?
No, and I think with all the chatter in the room and the late hour, we're not really going to come up with any kind of a good letter tonight. I think that we're going to have to follow up with maybe a session on the over the weekend to try and put something together. I don't know. That seems like the only option to me. No, I'm not talking about a board meeting in an open session. I mean, we've taken comment from the public, and I think we have some good direction on what to do. I mean, a good, solid, hard-working session to draft at least preliminary comments from an ad hoc committee of the board, something like that. I don't know any other way to do that. I don't think we're going to get much finished in a good product tonight. I'm certainly not going to be able to keep this up much longer. Director Sparks.
I've read through it. I mean, there's all sorts of legal implications. I don't think I can. It's hard to make a recommendation. You know, I'm not a big fan. And what I'd like to see is, when I look at Rob's memo and look at the goal of where we want to go, is within the framework that exists today, is to go to an on-site, develop an on-site system management plan. That's where we want to get to, and have staff get the clarification. Number one, I want to make sure, regardless, that we get the clarification. Rob says the language appears to shift some or all the responsibility, and your statements, Mr. Schimpf, indicate that from Sorrell that I guess the county has the responsibility for permitting. So that leads to us having an MOU with the county so that we can develop that plan. That's where we want to end up. In terms of comments to this, you know, if I wanted to reduce, practically speaking, that's where I want to go to, is getting towards an MOU with the county so that we developed a septic, on-site septic management plan for the properties outside the prohibition zone that is consistent with whatever regulations we end up with. I don't know, Mr. Murphy, I mean, I appreciate Director Sicker and the specific comments she wanted to include. I would not want to include all comments, and I would definitely ask staff whether we should, given some of the comments, whether we should ask staff to send comments to the regional board.
You could have the general manager or staff draft comments, send them to each board member separately so that the board members do not confer on them together. The board members could give individual comments back to staff as to the letter to be sent, and then the general manager can make a final decision. You could authorize him to do that. Certainly be within your power, and that could incorporate what seemed to be most vital out of the discussion this evening.
One other question for staff.
And the other option would be, as the president had said, to do an ad hoc subcommittee of two members to work something up over the weekend.
One other question for staff. And thanks for providing this from Mr. Miller. And he provided a general summary. You know, I guess I would also have hoped for that, but there's no comments from Mr. Miller on changes he would like to see. And so I guess what I would like to see from staff, if are there comments, and I also don't want us, you know, we could have legal review this in terms of all the implications and get a big legal bill, and you know that's, boy, that's like, you know, my feelings, I mean, great, you know, if it's pro bono, sure, let's do it, but that's not going to happen. You know, I was hoping maybe if Mr. Miller had comments that would be more germane to clarifications. I'm actually going to see Mr. Miller tomorrow, so I could ask about that as well or relay that to him. If he does have them, we'd like to have him in. But I don't authorize Mr. Miller to do anything. But I didn't see anything from here, Mr. Miller.
Tonight. We more or less are prohibited from interacting. So it's not like we can ask the other three to send us your comments. All we could do was each individually send them maybe to staff, have all of those compiled and then sent to two people to work on that. Maybe that would be the best way. And then we draw straws to see who gets the... I have a feeling it'll be two of the three on this end of the table.
Well, and again, there's nothing to prevent any director from sending comments to the regional board. So,
right, absolutely. Yeah, that would be, I guess, the one thing that wouldn't be on letterhead. And we should have something there.
Here's just a slight addition to that suggestion. I'd like staff to compile the comments that were made tonight, draft the letter, the ad hoc committee does the additional points, sends it to staff, something for Monday. I guess that's the only other way to do it, and say more is coming, you know, and try not to make it. And also, if you could also, dear Mr. Shemp, could you contact Mike Wynn or Napomo and get the copy of their letter that they sent to? That'd be something that we could tack on to those comments to see if those apply. And then so we have a bunch of comments that were made tonight. They can be compiled.
But I think each of us should send our comments, the things that we think are important, to Mr. Shemp and let him just compile that list and not even maybe try and write the letter, but just compile the list of concerns. And then the ad hoc committee can take that and craft it into a letter. Because that way each of us gets some input, and because if we just leave it to one person to compile all the comments that were made tonight, that's a huge task, and some of them are going to be missed, and people will be upset that my comments weren't in there. I think if there are five of us directing that effort, then we're going to get a better compilation of the comments, and then putting them into a letter is left to the ad hoc committee. Yes.
John. I like that idea, but the staff will also put in what we remember.
Oh, absolutely.
Down.
Oh, no.
So
yeah,
you would have that benefit. But I do would really ask for each director to respond. Because one of the things we can do based on that...
Do about, you know, you're going to affect people's lives by putting notices on the titles of their houses. That's... Where's the economic consideration there? You haven't done any kind of analysis for that. Those kind of detailed things maybe can follow up or yeah, just be incorporated as we can. But we'd all have to get them to you rather soon so that maybe by Sunday we could have your comments back and be working on them on Sunday. I think that's probably the best we can do at this point.
Who will sign the letter?
As board president, I think would.
You know, if the individual board members are going to be sending your own comments, I would suggest that the letter come signed by the GM on behalf of the district.
That's fine. Who wants to help write the letter? Of course we all vote for Lisa. She writes good letters. Do you want to assist Lisa, or shall I assist Lisa?
I'd be happy to.
I'd be happy if you did.
Sure.
Great. So be it. Thank you. I mean, tremendously appreciate that, and we will get you our comments.
So I think you need to move to set up the ad hoc committee and to have them draft the letter, and then to have the letter... signed and sent by staff and the general manager.
Yeah, that. I move that.
I second that.
Ad hoc committee of Director Sennett and Schicker. Each of us to send our comments to Mr. Schimpf, and then he can compile them and rank them and add his own, and maybe Nepomo's letter too, and then get them back to the ad hoc committee. And hopefully by Sunday we'll be working on a letter.
And then just a further amendment to that second would be a copy to the county, Board of Supervisors, and the RAC, too. And Nepomo, I guess, if you want, or anybody else.
Mike Wynn,
Chairman of the RAC. Oh, yeah, just go to the RAC.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second.
One point of
sloppy
clarification.
Yes.
And you're going to include public comments as well?
I think we're going to try and craft, grab the thing.
To decide what they want included in the letter. You could work it out here amongst yourselves,
okay.
Or you can appoint the ad hoc to do it. If you want to include every comment that was made tonight, you could do that. But
if the board were to... were to sit here and say we want every comment that was made, would you recommend we do that?
Frankly, I believe that I heard conflicting comments tonight, so I think the board would have to make policy decisions as to which comments to adopt.
I agree with that. I know where you're going, and no, I didn't mean for every single public comment made to be included. I think the ones that we heard the most often. And the ones that make the most sense to us as a board are what's important. I do not feel obligated to carry some people's legal battles to the water board. We have enough of our own. Mr. Schimpf.
I would ask if you could get your input in by noon tomorrow. I will try to get everything back out to you tomorrow, if possible. If possible, please. Thank you.
Wow, I thought you'd give us till midnight tonight. I think that sounds good. Then where are we at with our agenda?
Did you take a vote?
Oh, yeah, right. All those in favor, state aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. Yeah, and right. I did have one last comment. Now we're wrapping things up. Next Wednesday, the 9th, at the El Choro Regional Park, the Botanical Gardens, the new green building there, there's going to be a wonderful event with Brock Dolman coming in to talk about all things water. Basins of Relations, something like that. The man is a marvelous speaker. He will enthuse you about water. The problem is we do have a Water Ops Committee scheduled that night. I would encourage that committee to somehow find a way to accommodate people being able to attend the 6 o'clock event out at Rancho El Choro. It will be inspirational. And there'll be things... We're not talking wastewater here. We're talking about capturing rainwater and runoff and into swales and basins and keeping that water for our use. And we're in closing board comments. Anyone have things to add? Yes, did you?
I have Dr. a little
Tacker.
Something.
Okay, I caught that.
A small. I could use that on you. I have a small public service announcement a little charge of nitrates in the water should come Wednesday after Tuesday night's ham dinner. People helping people is going to have on Tuesday. So Tuesday night, ham dinner here at the community center. Get your tickets early. I thought it was the 8th.
I thought I heard the 8th, yeah.
No, it's Thursday, the 10th.
The 10th?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my apologies. Thursday, the 10th. So this ham dinner, Thursday night, the 10th of April. $8, that's the 8. Oh. $8 ticket here at the community center. People Helping People, as hopefully the whole community knows, is a wonderful organization that helps people. They have a food giveaway on Wednesday mornings for the less fortunate, and they do a wonderful job. All volunteers. I can't say enough about them, and I look forward to seeing as many people as possible to come to that. I'll be there.
Thank you. I'd forgotten about that. That's a good event. Anything else? Good night, and thank you for your attendance and your care.